Would you please turn with me to the book of James, chapter 1, verses 1 through 27. The book of James, chapter 1, verses 1 through 27. And I'm going to focus on verse 27 as the main theme in this message today. While you're looking for it, I'm going to have a moment of prayer, so please bow your heads with me. Father God, we just thank you. We praise you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you have called us out of darkness and into your marvelous light. We thank you, Lord, that we get to fellowship with you by the blood of Jesus' sacrificial death upon the cross, and we have all the promises of the scriptures through him and through the Holy Spirit and through each other. We can show that we truly are followers of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm just going to give you a little bit of a recap from last week. So as you know, Pastor Mike Collins spoke about how there are many reasons for not receiving Jesus. And I want to go through these six reasons briefly. And then it will go into the text that I'm talking about. So the first reason was Herod saw Jesus as his competition. The second, a multitude of people may have followed Jesus to a point, but many were not sincerely seeking him as a king. Some people didn't receive him and follow Jesus because they have figured out that it costs too much. And those in Samaria did not receive Jesus because of their religious intolerance. Some did not receive Jesus because they did not meet him face to face. The legalists, or the ones who keep the rules, did not receive him because of their pride in keeping what they thought to be God's rules. And that got in the way. So, in today's message, we move to the book of James. This is one of the seven general letters. Why is it called that? Because it's addressed to Christians in general, not to a particular church. So this is for all Christians of every time and decade, those who came before and those who will come after. The letter discusses these truths, true religion, true faith, and true wisdom. These three have to go together. So my question for you all this morning is this. What is pure, undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father? That's verse 27. So let me read to you what the text says. Says, starting at verse 1. Testing your faith. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad. Greetings. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Let endurance have its perfect and complete result so that you may be perfect and completely lacking in nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith, without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded, unstable man in all of his ways. But the brother of the humble circumstance is to glory in his high position, and the rich man is to glory in his humiliation, because like flowering grass he will pass away. For the sun rises with a scorching wind and withers the grass, and its flowers falls off, and the beauty of its appearance is destroyed. So too the rich man in the midst of his pursuits will fade away. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my brethren, my beloved brethren. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruits among his creatures. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, put aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness in humility, and receive the word implanted, of which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. If anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. Ooh, that was lengthy. So, the first point, pure and undefiled religion is rooted in the Word of God, the Bible, the Scriptures, the Good Book. These are terms that people like to throw around. And Psalm 119, verse 105, says this: Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. John Piper puts it this way: The Spirit inspires the word, and therefore he goes where the word goes. The more of God's word you know and love, the more of God's Spirit you will experience. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 4b through verse 6. I'm going to start with 4b. In the sight of God and man, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16, 17, and 18. In every circumstance, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So what do all these scriptures have to do with the book of James? Well, in the book of James, chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, James tells us that how to act in faith when trials and temptations come. Consider it all joy, my beloved brethren. He's writing to Christians who are dispersed throughout the known world at this time, who are under persecution. He's encouraging them. He says, consider it all joy when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces what? Endurance. Endurance means to give it all you got. Don't give up. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and completely lacking in nothing. God puts trials in our lives to grow us in areas where we are weak, to grow us in areas where we are strong. If we're honest with ourselves, then the fact is that we're all sinners, but God is working in us the will and the strength for his good pleasure by his Holy Spirit. So, God is making us more like Christ. We're not there yet, but we'll get there. Knowing this, trials should not be a surprise. They come in all shapes and sizes. So don't be surprised when it does happen, because God's growing us. He knows that we're not alone. That's another comfort. God is always with us. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. And he also promises, if you are a believer, his Holy Spirit will help you to get through the trials that you face. Verse 5 says how to handle the trials and tribulations when you lack wisdom. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously. God doesn't hold back, without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he says you must ask in faith, without any doubting. You can't just say, oh, one day God's going to do this for me, but one day he's not going to, because that's a double-minded man. That means that your mind's racing in many different directions, and you lose focus when you don't look towards God, towards the cross of Christ. Because when you look at the cross of Christ, you're not gonna look at, oh well, for example, say there's like a whole bunch of piles of dirt here, and they're all and they're different parts of sin. So if you're not focusing on Christ, you're trying to walk around here, and you're trying not to step in it, but you're going to step in it sooner or later. So you're going to have to get on your knees anyway and confess and repent and say, Lord, help me. But when you look at the cross of Christ and you stay in his word, you know, you're not going to step in it. What happened to Peter when he was on the Sea of Galilee. He took his face off of Christ. And what happened to Peter? He fell in the water. And he says, Lord, save me. But what did Jesus do? He did save him. He reached down, pulled him up, and he said, oh, ye of little faith, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? So blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Endure. Stand firm in your faith. Press on. Pure and undefiled religion is rooted in faith and obedience to Christ's commands rather than man's tradition. That's a big one on my heart. Because it doesn't take very long to walk through this world and see that many people have many beliefs, many different beliefs, and they try to explain why they believe what they believe. But what's their basis? Where are they getting it from? Because what God's word does for us is that it changes and lets us see who God really is, okay? The scripture speaks for itself, and it tells us that God is personable. It tells us his character, and it is above every earthly man-made tradition. It is the sole authority for every matter of faith and practice. It should be our guide. So, when somebody comes to you and they try to tell you about their tradition and say, well, I believe God's like this. You know, he expects me to do this, and this. And then the Christian comes along and talks to him and says, "Well, where do you get that idea from?" A lot of people say, well, you gotta do good works to go to heaven. You gotta give charity. You gotta do all these good things to get to heaven. But the Bible tells us that there's only one way. All those good things that you believe that you're doing, they're like filthy rags in the sight of God. You gotta have faith. So, when man challenges you with his tradition, tell him that you'd rather go with the Word of God every time. You can't lose. Ephesians 4:14 says, as a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by trickery of man, by craftiness in deceitful scheming. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, but examine everything carefully and hold fast to what is good. Let me share a quick story with you. I remember going to a outreach event a couple of years ago with some brothers from another church. They asked me to go with them to share my faith. So I said, yeah, sure. So, as we're sharing our faith, this priest comes up. And he realizes that we're sharing our faith. So he begins to talk to us. And we said, well, share a little more with us about what you believe and what you're teaching your congregation. And the first thing out of his mouth was he believed that there were many roads to God. And that really hit home with a lot of our brothers. And I wanted to speak up and tell him that there's only one way to heaven. That's Jesus Christ. And that's a danger because he is a teacher of the scriptures, and he's leading his congregation astray when he's telling them that. So, but God, I love how he works. He brought this brother in to talk to him, and he said, he called him out. He had the gift of boldness. And he said, you're wrong. And he told him why. He said, he says, look, the scripture is so clear that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. John 14:6. So, be careful what teachers you're listening to. Be careful where the beliefs are coming from. Be challenged to get into the Word. Challenge those who are teaching God's Word to you. To teach God's Word in such a way that it is done in faith. So, pure and undefiled religion, third point, is not a religion, but it is a personal, life-transforming relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So, what does this tell you? Pure and undefiled religion is a perfect relationship with Jesus Christ. But Jesus was the only one without sin. We have sin. But Christ is making us new day by day. And we walk in faith and obedience to Christ's commands. And by faith, we trust him. That's the simple gospel message. That we learn to trust him, and we follow and do what his word says. Don't build your traditions, and your beliefs, on anything other than what God's word says. So, God is still saving today. As we can see, we've had three professions of faith. Because many Christians are bold enough to proclaim the truth of the gospel, the simple truth, and share their faith. So, let me explain to you how that can happen in your life. because he did it for me, and he did it for anybody else who has placed their faith in Jesus. So, God draws you to himself, and you respond in faith, and you say that you want to follow Jesus. It's not anything we can earn. It's not anything that we've done. God draws us to himself. And then you confess your need for him and forsake your sins. You do a 180 and you turn in the other direction and you run towards him. Next, you become a disciple. You sit at his feet and you learn and practice and live out your faith with the help of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, that promise is once you place your faith in Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes into your life and allows you to understand the scriptures and grow in your faith. And he will help you to do that. And he'll bring others alongside of you to help you in that. So, my last point is you share your faith with others so that they can know what Jesus has done for you. So what's the goal? To know Jesus and make him known. To know Jesus and make him known. Amen.